Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on Just Ball Things, Playoffs Edition. Is Paul George's shooting the key to the Thunder's playoff success? Is Knicks team, the Wizards, any chance of a playoff round win? Will the Rockets sweep the Timberwolves? Will the Pelicans upset the Blazers? Can the Spurs give the Warriors a fright at all in their series? And are Indiana the unluckiest team in the Eastern Conference? All that and more, plus the awards, in this week's episode. So shut up and sit down, because JBT is about to begin.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to Just Ball Things. I forgot my spiel, Jack.
It's there.
It's right there. It's in my eye line.
And you, what do you say now?
With me today.
That's me.
It's you. With me today is J-Man. You're next to me.
Okay, so you don't need to say
that. For the third week in a row.
There we go.
Unfortunateness last week. My workplace has been riding me like a horse, I guess, or a mule, yeah, or mule. Your ex-wife. That was inappropriate.
To all the people that are divorced, we apologize.
So my asshole is about the size of a donut.
Yeah, please stay tuned. We will not be speaking about Nick's rectum any further.
Yeah, work's been pretty rough. That's why there was no show last week.
Back for the playoffs.
We are back for the playoffs.
Always.
So, Jack, I am your student today.
Yes, sir.
And I would love, because it's been rough for me. So I didn't follow the last week of the NBA. Possibly the most exciting week.
Oh yeah.
Of the season.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
That crazy battle in the East and subsequent and also the West.
Minnesota.
As well.
Denver.
Yeah, Denver unlucky not to make it. But Jack, we've got a playoffs edition coming to you.
Give me some sound effects, Nicky boy.
It's a big week.
Yeah.
So let's push them all.
Always ending so on the sirens.
It's been a big week.
It's been a massive week.
As you can probably entertain.
And it's going to be an even bigger week starting Sunday, our time, Saturday, for all our international American and Canadian listeners. But we're doing Music Manuel. We're going to start off with the quick coaching tidbit, and we get right into the playoff brackets because it's going to be a big episode. But Nick, first off, quick coaching roundup. Jerry Stackhouse should fill the vacant Magic spot while anyone but Mark Jackson should coach the Knicks. What do you got for this one? Any thoughts? I mean, obviously Hornacek's fired.
Yeah, So this no is surprises. Obviously all in light of Hornacek being fired.
Vogel.
May I just add, congratulations on guessing that. Not that it was hard. I mean, Knicks,
yeah, we did it a couple
Knicks
weeks,
have
yeah.
a bit of a rotating door policy in their coaching department.
It's the gif that I put on Twitter the other day, the Grandpa Simpson going into the burlesque house, and he puts on his hat, takes it off, sees Bart, and then walks out the door. That's the Knicks coaching situation over the past decade.
Pretty much.
What do you think? The reason why I put Jerry Stackhouse as a Magic in the Magic position replacing Frank Vogel is, personally, I think that they need a guy to reinvigorate their system, a guy to build with them. So look at what Coach Kenny's been doing with Coach Kenny Atkinson of the Nets has been doing with their squad. Reinvigorate their system, build together, sort of rebuild this entire squad. I don't think they need a proven coach right now. Like, Frank Vogel, I'm sure, will get another job. Jeff Hornacek deserves another job as well. But I feel like Jerry Stackhouse is going to be the perfect fit for this. So that's why I'm putting both of these as a fact. Because Mark Jackson, I mean, as a Nets fan, I want Mark Jackson to go to the Knicks because then it'll make the Nets a more favorable squad. We'll get the free agents and shit. But there's David Blatt has been rumored. There's been plenty of other guys that are on the seat out there. I think Jeff Van Gundy has been a low key rumor. I don't think he would take.
I've heard a bit of rumblings about Jeff Van Gundy.
Fizdale.
It would just be a matter of trying to convince him to get back into coaching. I'm not denying that he would be a fantastic coach. But it's just whether or not he would want to pursue that career. Yeah. He's a great announcer. I love him on the call.
Yeah.
But the Magic need a development coach.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned before, Knicks, perhaps to a lesser extent, but because, you know, Kristaps is doing amazing things and can potentially bring in those free agents. So Knicks are in a better position than the Magic right now, and I think maybe a Blatt would be a good spot for
I don't mind Blatt.
For the Knicks.
Yeah.
Sort of like they can turn into a win now if they can get the correct free agents.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll get right to the playoffs now. That we didn't want to spend too much time on the coaching news. Nick, I'm hoping for a few Game 7s. You got something for me? Hope for a couple of these.
Mate, the most famous Game 7.
We're going to Game 7, baby!
Game 7!
And you can't see us, but our hands are in the air.
They have to be. So, with the playoffs upon us, we're going to go through each of the series with the sort of Music Manuel. So, we'll start with the Jazz and the Thunder. Paul George's shooting, Nicholas, is the key to the Thunder's playoff success.
Big X factor there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge X factor. It's like a Y factor.
I think that they both need to be firing, as in Mello could be doing nothing for all I care. Paul George and Russ need to be firing. And there is nothing that would give me greater joy than to see the Jazz win this series.
For Thringles,
for Donovan Mitchell, and just to stick it in the arse of, you know, we discussed that we weren't going to talk about rectums anymore.
Not your own one.
Okay, this is Russell Westbrook.
The proverbial Oklahoma.
So, yes. Nothing would make me happier than to see Russell Westbrook burn in flames in the playoffs.
I was listening on the way to your house, funnily enough, listening to the Open Floor pod, and they were speaking about how it was somewhat reminiscent of the Jazz last year taking on the Clippers in that sort of big three, and sort of, you know, the rumblings going on there, all the sort of, will Chris Paul stay or go, will Blake Griffin stay or go, will DeAndre stay or go? So there's a lot of rumblings there, there's a lot of similarities there. For me, Paul George isn't exactly the key to it, so I'm going to give this wiki fact. But I think that I predicted that OKC will win in 6 on the NBA Outlet Series. So I'm going to go the opposite on JBT just to cover both ends for me.
Cover all your bases, yep. You bastard.
I've got Jazz in 6. Funnily enough, I think the 6th game will be in Utah and Salt Lake City. So if they do win at home, I feel like that's probably a likely scenario. So I'm going to go for that one purely because I'm going to, literally with all these series, I'm going the opposite of what I said on the Outlet Series, which I've only done 4 games. So I've got half the series.
This series is going to be a tough one.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
They're very streaky, the Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
It's like I can't predict any Wizards, which we're going to get to in a moment. But I can't predict any Wizards series, much the same as the Thunder, because it depends on what Thunder turns up on the night.
Yeah.
If you get a Paul George that's shooting amazing. If you get a Russell Westbrook that's hitting his threes, how can you stop that?
Yeah.
The only thing is that I think Gobert is going to match up quite well,
and Adams.
That'll
be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that.
Gobert, I think, will stifle a lot of Russ drive magic.
It's gonna be on how Stephen Adams can create space for him and in the pick and roll. If the Thunder can start making their 3-point shots in the perimeter, if Brook can hit a few, if he's healthy, if Jeremy Grant, all these sort of guys start hitting their shots at Brinas, drag Rudy Gobert out of the paint, create that
any
space.
Any way you can, or hit
the perimeter shot.
Exactly. If Paul George starts hits those perimeter shots, then bloody hell, that's tough.
Nick, what's your prediction before we move on?
Jazz in... Jazz in 7.
Play me the horn for me. Give me that.
Give me that sweet horn.
Yeah. With that, we will move on.
We are overusing the soundboard already.
We are.
I've used every button about 5 times now,
and it's been 9.5 minutes in. So we'll move on to the next series, which is the Rockets and the Timberwolves. And I put to you, my friend, the Rockets will sweep Minnesota.
Minnesota are not playing well.
They're in the playoffs. Like, give them that.
They were third.
They were third. They were very good. But they lost Jimmy Butler.
Well, I guess we lost Wall.
They've got a lot of excuses. A lot of teams do, but at the same time, like we spoke about it on our last pod that we recorded, how Tom Thibodeau hasn't learned anything.
Well, this is a statement for Houston. I don't think there could have been a better
matchup,
better matchup in the West.
Yeah.
An overused young T-Wolves team,
yeah,
with Jimmy Butler just coming back into the team.
Yeah. It's their best chance for a
sweep. Yeah, this is their best chance for a sweep, exactly.
So I'll go... what
I'm
is
giving
it?
This one a wiki.
I'm going to give this one a whacked, because it's so close to a fact, and it's on the borderline.
Well, that's why I gave it a wiki, Jack.
As always, I feel like I predicted Timberwolves would lose in five on the outlet. I'm not
going to... So you're going Rocket... So you're going T-Wolves in five?
I'm not predicting the opposite here, because there's no way it's going to happen. Funnily enough, I was showing Nick... We were watching a bit of the footy, and I was on Twitter. Someone retweeted the fact that Chris Paul was injured in Game 1, but it was from, like, 2015 when he was injured in Game 1 against for the Clippers.
Yeah.
So those trolls are wonderful.
Hashtag fake news.
Hashtag...
Wait.
Wrong,
I've got something for this.
Wrong.
You are fake news.
I am fake news now. Oh, here we go. All right. Apparently, fake news is now a thing. I feel like fake news is just, like, false. Alternative facts are just, like, not facts. There's no facts shouldn't be in the same thing. But there's a lot of facts going into this series, Nicholas. Fact is, Kawhi Leonard will probably not be playing. That's not really a fact, I guess.
That is a fact.
It's a probability.
It's
but
a fact, Jack.
The Spurs will give the Warriors a fright in their series. You got a shot, you reckon? What do you got?
If it's just a fright,
what
then...
about Zaza? What does Zaza think?
Zaza does not think Game 7.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
That's Atlanta Zaza. That's our Golden State Zaza.
Exactly.
Okay.
If it's a fright, then yeah, I'm giving this one a fact.
Yeah, it's a fact.
It's definitely a fact. Warriors are not playing good.
Nah. What was it in
net rating 18th? Was 18th.
Yeah,
they're 26th in defense, 15th in offense.
Yeah, we looked
over this stretch.
Yeah, we looked up since Steph Curry's injury on March 6th up until like the, so it's been about a month or so. They're 17th in offense and defensive rating and 18th in net rating. So they have not been playing great basketball. And I posted on my Twitter account as well, and it got somewhat traction. Like, when do we start worrying about the fact that the Warriors' ability to switch, to flip the switch and switch on?
Yeah.
I saw a Warriors beat writer tweet out the fact that Draymond Green's had trouble this year sort of manufacturing motivation.
Mm.
And I retweeted, I'm like, if you're a professional athlete, you shouldn't have to manufacture motivation. I get it's a long slog. I get it's an 82-game season. But you should have that intrinsic motivation to want to win another title, to want to win a Defensive Player of the Year again, to be the best you can be. But Draymond is obviously that sort of guy. And I guess whatever works for you, I ended up tweeting. I didn't want to get into a Twitter war with an accredited source because, you know, I've only got like 190 followers. I'm going to get slaughtered.
You're an accredited source in my eyes.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Thank you, Nick. But... so it just speaks volumes into the mentality, I think, of where the Warriors are at right now. If you have to manufacture ways to go, look, I need to get up for this, and like I need to, like, sort of like what MJ was like back in the days where he would pretend. Like, there was a game against, like, it was Portland or something where he, like, manufactured and pretended, like, yeah, he said this to me when I was walking off the court. But the person didn't actually say anything. He invented it in his head to motivate himself to go that step further. Obviously, MJ is a weird and his own beast, as is Draymond, but I feel like the Spurs have been in some decent form. LaMarcus, if he mentioned to the beat writers of San Antonio that he knows how they're going to guard him. We saw how he played last year against when Kawhi went out, and you know that how his dip was very severe. So he's going to have a huge series for the Spurs to have a fright. But yeah, I reckon this is a fact. They're certainly going to have some sort of an impact.
I mean, it doesn't matter... It doesn't matter where the Spurs land. Like, they're in the playoffs now.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter that they finish seventh.
Yeah.
They could have finished second. This could be a 2-7 matchup.
Yeah.
Not the Warriors.
I get what you mean. I get what you mean.
But it doesn't matter where the Spurs end up. A well-drilled, a well-coached team that... Like, they had their struggles, definitely. Without Kawhi Leonard, this has been a real rough season for the Spurs. But never discount a pop... coached
two
team
decades
in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I never discount them.
Not at all. And I feel like, yeah, the Spurs certainly have every chance. And this was one that I didn't record, so I have to actually come up with one that I do believe. So I got Golden State in six. I reckon it could
I
go...
Think, I think six is
it
fair.
It could go to a game seven. It certainly could, Zaza. Thank you very much for that. He's right next to us in the room yelling. Chill out, bro. But...
before he falls on you and kills you.
Yeah, my legs are going to be broken in so many places. He's like the Italian mob in weird ways. He's just a weird lanky dude. But not even lanky. That's
he's not
me.
Even lanky.
He's an ogre. He's like a Shrek
style.
Yeah,
he's
dude.
Just big and lumbering.
But speaking of big and lumbering, these teams have one of them, probably.
I thought you were going to segue as like Mwang.
Yeah.
Big and lumbering.
You always think of genitalia when it comes to this podcast, Nicholas. Always gets a way too sexual. But Indiana are the unluckiest team in the East, Nick, because they have landed the Cavs as a first-round opponent. Fact for me, they had such a great season.
It's quite unfortunate. They finished fifth, and the 4-5 matchup was against the Cavs.
It's just like you can't, like, you would rather verse Boston, who was second. You'd probably rather verse Philadelphia because they had that lack of playoff success and the sort of youth there. But you get LeBron, who has had the bunny over everyone for the last 7-8 years.
It's going to be an absolute treat to see, because this is possibly the biggest flip switch that the Cavs organization could see. Like,
yeah.
If they sweep the Pacers, for example, what a switch flip that would have been.
Flip switch.
Because Nothing But Thieves song.
Yeah.
Flip switch. Because the way that they've been playing all season, nothing indicates that they're going to sweep.
Their defense is the worst out of all.
Exactly.
The 29th.
So, if they sweep, it'll just be like, I don't play NBA. I don't understand it. But how can you possibly go through the regular season and then, you know, two days later,
yeah,
it's playoffs and you're a completely reinvented team?
Who knows?
I don't understand how that happens.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting because the Cavs have a few guys. This is a new team still. You know, it's only been a few months. You know, Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance. These guys haven't had any playoff experience at this stage. So they're certainly going to be and Jeff Green's obviously experiencing this for, I think he's obviously been in the playoffs, but with LeBron. Indiana are ridiculously unlucky. I feel for them in so many ways. Mm. They've had such a great season. I think they've got a shot. Victor Oladipo has been amazing.
I mean, if regular season's got anything to do with it, they've definitely got a chance to push, like, at least six.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be... LeBron, normally in the first round, is always like, let's make a statement here, and he always dominates. So, it'll be interesting to see how Indiana can guard that. I'm not really sure they have the wing depth to sort of do so. You know, I can't imagine anyone really sort of having that impact on him. But, you know, Indiana have had a great season. They have a great real team. Their chemistry is awesome, but I feel like this is a fact. They are the unluckiest team. I feel like they'll go down in... I'm going to give them two games. I'm going to go Cavs in six, but it's probably...
I'm not even confident giving them one.
You're going sweep.
Like,
get the brooms out.
I'm not
out.
Confident giving them one, but I'm giving them one.
You know, no sweeping, all right? We should have got like a sweep noise.
I never predict sweeps.
The gentleman sweep.
Because sweeps are... Yeah, well, that's right. Sweeps are... they're ridiculously hard to get. That's why it can't be understated how dominant the Warriors were last season.
Yeah.
They swept everyone. They swept their way to the bloody finals.
Yeah.
That is that's never...
It's not the same, but...
Yeah, I never predict sweeps.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are not the same, the Pelicans are in the playoffs this year, and the most likely playoff upset, Nicholas, is the Pelicans over the Blazers. What do you think about this one? I've got this as a probably Twitter, because I reckon the Bucks over the Celtics is also a likely occurrence, and we will get
but
to that.
But is that a big upset?
See, that's the thing.
Like, given the injuries with Boston?
It's still an upset in terms of seeding, but I feel like this would be more... But these two teams are also so evenly matched, but they have contrasting styles. Like, you know, Portland like to get into the half court. You know, New Orleans like to get in the fast break. They're number one in pace. They really like to get out in transition. You know, get the ball moving with guys like Rajon Rondo. Get the ball down low to Anthony Davis. Let him do his work. It's going to be whichever star can drag their supporting cast with them.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it's going to be. Who, because it can be said to both. Who's guarding? Who's guarding Dame? But it's not just Lillard.
CJ.
It's Dame and CJ. It's that 1-2.
Yeah.
Drew's
been great though. Had an awesome season.
Even Rondo.
Yeah, Rondo's a playoff Rondo.
Exactly. Like, Rondo can defend.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of who can stop Dame from being Dame?
Who can stop Davis from being Davis?
But that's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Who's going to drive?
Oh, man.
Because Nurkic isn't stopping Davis.
I feel like
no one stops Davis.
Davis will do like a 40-30 game. I'll put it out there. I'm going to 40-25 game at least.
He's given me my quad double.
Yeah, hopefully it comes for you, mate. I know how much you've been hanging out for us since like the 2 years we've been doing this pod, but I said Blazers in seven on the earlier pod on the OTG outlet, so I'm going to go Pelicans in seven.
I'm going to go Pelicans in seven too.
Fair enough.
I reckon that's going to be the first upset of the
highly likely
thing. And
game
again,
seven, Nick, is going to go in. Yes! If you don't hate
anyway,
Zaza and us
we
now.
We make the big calls.
Yes, we do.
Because it is New Orleans in seven. Because, like, again, who's gonna stop Davis? And I would just love... I'm a big fan of squashing...
Beef?
Well, squashing playoff beef, I guess.
Yeah.
And... like the Rockets, James Harden and that guy, Chris Paul, have this playoff cloud over them. So does Davis. Never won a playoff game.
He's only played in one series. He's still only 24, 25.
He still never won a game.
Yeah.
Not a series, a game.
He got swept by
the Warriors.
But everyone got swept by them.
Well, they were the 8th seed. Yeah. They only just got into the playoffs. Yeah. So they're just like, well, you're versus the 73-win Warriors.
That's it.
Yeah, so this will be brilliant for Davis. I think this will be the first sweep, upset of the playoffs.
I like it. There might be an upset in this one, Nicholas, but Sixers Heat is the most exciting playoff series of them all.
This is definitely the toughest to pick, so this is a hashtag fact.
Fact for me as well.
Yep.
Fact.
Hashtag fact. The dynamicness. Is that a word? I think it is.
Yeah, we'll go with it.
I don't think it's the... Yeah, anyway.
All right. Yeah,
the sheer...
I'm Googling
dynamic,
it.
We need to invest
word of the day.
In a word... Yes, exactly. What is the word of the day? Anyway. The dynamicness of this Sixers team is almost unparalleled, but... Again, it's the same theory with the Spurs.
Yeah.
A well-drilled, well-coached, playoff D-Wade team... can never be understated.
Yeah. Well, according to Yahoo Answers, it's not a word, but everything...
Yahoo Answers. Everything on Yahoo Answers is correct.
I might as well go to Ask Jeeves instead. But you made some good points there, Nick. The Heat are almost the Spurs of the East. They have an incredibly well-drilled team. Josh Richardson, James Johnson. They've got a lot of guys that can probably give some trouble to Ben Simmons as well.
Babbitt.
Yeah, Babbitt, why not? We'll chuck him out there. Dwayne Wade is a playoff commodity and a known playoff commodity. Embiid, when's he going to be back? Game two, game three? Is he going to be back for game one? Masked Embiid. Mask off. We get the future going. Mask off. It's going to be interesting to see when he comes back and it starts beefing. New beef. With Hassan Whiteside. That's going to be outstanding. The social media game will be on point. Their Snapchats and Instagrams. Oh my God, I can't wait for the tags.
The internet will break.
If it's not already broken about just the sheer anticipation of that, then I don't know. It's going to be... They're going to need a new internet. Like, Silicon Valley's going to need to do something.
This will be a good chance for Simmons to see where he's at as well.
Yeah.
Like, rookie season. If you fall...
Same with Mitchell.
Yeah, same with Mitchell.
Rookies
and the Jazz, yeah.
Making an impact in the playoffs is Dwayne Wade did, I believe, in his first season. He was quite good, but it's where names are made. I remember saying that on the outlet. I feel like I stole it from somewhere, but this is where names are made in the playoffs. Mm. And if Simmons can play how he has in this 16-game win streak, and Markel Fultz can have an impact as well. He's been great as of late, had his first career triple-double, the youngest ever to do so.
Mm.
This Sixers team is rolling. They need to bring that... In fact, they're probably the form team of the NBA right now. If they can bring that momentum with them, it's going to be huge. But this, for me, is a really exciting series and the most exciting one to go. I'm going to go... I didn't preview this one, so I can't not go
this
the
has
Sixers.
To be, this has to be a game. This has to be
A Zaza?
A Zaza. It's We're just going to call it a Zaza. Then.
Yep.
This has to be a Zaza because they're just so close.
I'm going Sixers in six because I feel like if Embiid comes back, he's going to be too good. And I feel like the Sixers have too much depth. JJ Redick's awesome.
They do have a lot of depth.
Ilya Sova. TJ McConnell's almost been relegated, and he's quite a good bench performer. But I'm going sixes in six because I like saying sixes in six as many times as I can. Sixes in six. Tongue twister for you.
In six.
Sixes
You're
in six.
You're not giving this a Zaza?
I ain't giving it a Zaza because I don't want to hear the soundbite again. I might call it in the next series. Just to hear it again.
I'm going. Yeah, I'll be going sixes and seven.
Yeah,
sixes and seven.
Sixes and seven. Sixes and six. Sixes and eight. But another thing that's really hard to say is Giannis's last name, so I'm not going to say it. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
There we go. Yeah, you've been practicing.
I've been doing too many pods this year. I did four this morning. Giannis can drag his team to a series win over the Celtics. Wiki, automatic for me.
Ooh, okay. I reckon that's fair.
Near fact, even.
Only because of the sheer...
awesomeness. Dynamicness.
Not awesomeness.
Dynamicness.
Not even dynamicness.
What is it?
Shitness of the Celtics.
Oh, you went the other way with it.
Yeah, exactly. I was going... Not shitness. Like, with given all their injuries, they have done remarkably well.
Stevens, though.
Yes.
But Stevens.
Yes, but Stevens. The Celtics, after shutting down Kyrie Irving, were the team you wanted to face in the East.
Yeah.
And I think the Bucks, you know, we lost on the final game of the season. Keep bringing this back to the Wizards. We lost the final game
to the Orlando Magic.
Yes, I know.
Yep.
Don't remind me, Jack.
Yep.
we lost and
fully
they,
healthy team.
And
the Bucks lost by 40 points as well to the Sixers.
I so wanted to verse the Celtics as well. That little bit of a rivalry there.
Yeah. That would have been nice.
Would have been good. It's all right. We'll just have to beat the Raptors. No dramas.
Yeah, like you did 2 years ago, three years ago.
Anyway, we will get to that series, Jack. Stop bringing up the Wizards.
Yep.
You always talk about the Wizards.
Yeah. I can't stop myself. It's why I made this podcast, to speak about your team. But finally, Nicholas, your team is in a free fall and have no chance of a playoff round win. Alternative fact. You're going to give it, aren't you?
As in win?
Like, you need to win a series. Win a series. Oh. Playoff round series, whatever you want to call it.
Twitter?
Yeah. Ooh, all right.
We're in shambles, Jack.
But you can do it.
We can do it. It just really depends on what Wizards turn up on the night.
Yeah. And what Raptors, for that matter.
Yeah, well, exactly. They've been pretty streaky of late as well. It's really going to be interesting to see how the bench unit of Raptors that have gotten them the number one seed this year, how they go in the playoffs.
DeMar's been
of course, their starters are still like great. They're still a number one seed in the East, but how is this team going to put up with playoff basketball?
Yeah.
We discussed earlier that, you know, they're playing a more playoff friendly brand of ball, which is true. Apart from the fact that their bench unit does take up a lot of minutes.
Which generally doesn't happen in playoffs.
Exactly. Rotation. So how is Poeltl, Van Vliet, Siakam, how are these guys going to go against the likes of Wall?
Hopefully Van Vliet's healthy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Van Vliet's been absolutely amazing for him.
I like in the sense that the Wizards have a really strong starting five taking out the Polish hammer. I feel like, I think Nick Fay of OTG called him the Polish like mallet. He's one of those plastic kids' mallets because he's lost so much of his ferocity that he shouldn't be a hammer anymore. But the top three of the Wizards in Beal, Wall, this is in the order. I feel like Beal's been awesome. But Beal, Wall, and Porter, those three can, if they can get hot, I don't feel like that they're almost unguardable. OG Anunoby is a rookie, and he's probably going to have to guard Porter or Wall or Beal. Like, he's their best defender alongside Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry's had his rest, so to speak, through the season. It's almost been building to, are we going to see playoff Larry where he flounders? Or are we going to see him, you know, sort of do what you were saying about that sort of cloud hanging over the CP and the Rockets and James Harden? Is it going to, you know, go over Toronto and will they be able to step up? Game one is going to be super interesting. We all know what happens. I feel like it's been, I think it was Tass that mentioned it's been like nine or something, like they're 1-9 in game ones, and it's like the last 6 years have been at home and they've lost them. So that's going to be huge. They'll probably be able to still win this series, but your Wizards aren't doing themselves any favors.
I just think it's the simple fact that we won that series before, that 4-5 matchup 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
It might give us a mental edge.
Yeah, maybe. We mentioned that.
And if we turn up in the playoffs, I mean, we had a few brilliant games against the Celtics. Celtics were just too good in the end. It's tough, you know. I mean, like you said, with the defending situation, Anunoby would be taking Wall for sure, just to stop his drives to the basket. But then, like you said, Porter with his length on his shot, if he's hot, then you can't guard him.
Nah.
Beal as well, to a lesser extent, he's great off the dribble himself. I mean, we have the potential to beat the Raptors, but the Raptors are good. So I'm giving this one a Twitter, and I'm predicting a Raptors in six.
All right, I said Raptors in five on the OTG.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm going, Wizards in five, Nicholas. Your boys are going to step up for me. We ain't going to no game seven. No Zaza for this one. In five. We've done bugger all time on this one, mate. Do you want to do our awards one in this one, or do you want to give the folks a break and go to some awards, or we want
to? Yeah, we'll go to a quick break. We'll assess what we're doing after the break.
Yeah, why not?
You're listening to Just Ball Things. Head over on iTunes and give us a rating and review. Welcome back to Just Ball Things. If you're listening to this on the podcast, or even if you're not, you don't have to be, head over on iTunes, give us a rating review, all that good stuff. Hit that subscribe button if you're listening to us on the podcast. I think I already mentioned that. Jack, take over before I start babbling on senselessly.
You already have. You already do. You do it every single podcast. That's what we Woo! Love you, Nick. That's why we love you, mate. We're going to do the NBA Awards, our NBA Awards prediction. For those that haven't listened to our preseason, our mid-season predictions, what was it, JBT Unplugged?
Yes, JBT Unplugged.
JBT Unplugged for a couple of weeks ago.
It was a little bit dark.
Listen back, we got a bit sexy. Yeah.
A bit noir.
Yeah, it was a JBT Noir. I don't know what you just flicked at me, mate. That wasn't very nice. But we're going to do our predictions right now. A lot of other people are. We've got plenty of time in this pod. We're going to do our NBA Award predictions. Then we'll reveal to you our JB team of the year,
mm-hmm.
our JBT MVP, and our Rookie Watch winner. I know everyone is excited for that. Ben Simmons is. The starties, they don't matter. The JBT awards are what matters. It's award season, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have any trophies in here. We've got some plenty of DVDs. We've got some nice moisturizer Nick has, a couple of guitars. Maybe we can send one of those guitars to Ben Simmons. I didn't want to say that. But Rookie of the Year first up, Nick. Pretty easy one. Unless we're defining what a rookie is by Donovan Mitchell standards.
What? Non-existent? it's Ben Simmons. What other... I hate... All right.
Here we go.
Let me go.
Sit down, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me go on a rant.
Undo your pants. Get a nice glass of wine.
I spent 5 minutes of my life that I will never get back listening to Skip goddamn Bayless speak about how even if... you don't use the Ben Simmons having a red shirt. Like, if you don't say that, oh, Ben Simmons had an extra year. If you just take the merits of the rookies played this year, he would still pick Donovan Mitchell as the rookie of the year. That is 100%
wrong. You are fake news.
It is both of those things. And I wasted 5 minutes of my life listening to him waffle on about absolute bullshit. It's just not true.
Yep.
Like, how can you possibly take this award away from Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to leave it with it's BS not to think it's not Ben Simmons. You know, Mitchell has been great. I've posted like highlights of both of them, and I'm just like, look, I love both of these guys. Both of these guys are going to be superstars if they're not already. The league is a better place with this rookie class, but you know, for me, Mitchell second. I'd probably have Tatum third, Kuzma mm-hmm. fourth, Markkanen. You know, it doesn't really matter. We'll go through our JBT rookie watch at the end. That's the votes at the end of the season. So that was one that really matters. But Nicky boy, Coach of the Year. This one is a race that could be taken out
by so many.
Yeah. We've got Brett Brown, Nate McMillan, Dan Tony, Quinn Snyder, Brad Stevens, Dwayne Casey. All these guys have a legitimate claim, and I would not argue against any of them. I would be like, yep, that's fine. Yep. It's almost like the opposite of like, you know, MVP or whatever.
It's
you
really can make got it an to argument do with, for any of them. Yeah, exactly. It's really got to do what you value more out of your coach. You know, do you value, you know, amount of wins? Do you value what they've brought out in their roster, how they've changed, what they've adapted to?
Yeah.
there's so many facets to this award that it almost becomes subjective.
It is
how you judge this one. For me, I was Dwayne Casey for a long time.
Yeah.
Until same. Sixers went on this last power push,
16 in a row,
and finished third.
Yeah.
They finished above the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep.
A team that 2 years ago won 10 games.
Nine
games. Oh, yeah, hit double digits.
Nine, I thought it was 1973, but that might have been the Hornets or the Bobcats. My bad.
Atrocious. They were a terrible team.
Train wreck.
Joel Embiid comes in. Simmons comes in.
But yes.
Fultz comes in.
Fultzy.
They make amazing trades in off-season and in free agency.
JJ.
Yes, thank you, Jack.
I'm just giving you names.
And they just make it work. They are a 50-win team this year.
Brett Brown.
And Brett Brown's my pick.
Yeah, some love.
I did not even speak about him all year. It is this last push, and maybe a little bit of recency bias.
Why not?
But I couldn't believe it when the Sixers won their 50th game.
Speaking of recency bias, I was with Dwayne Casey as well. I had Dwayne Casey on my ballot for OTG, for JBT, in our unplugged version. I'm pretty sure I had Dwayne as well. But I think I'm almost slightly going to flip towards Brad Stevens in terms of... I can't remember who it was. Was it Edward that emailed us? I'm going to go with what Edward said.
From UConn University. We remember you, mate. We remember you.
From UConn. He definitely convinced me in the sense that what Stevens has done, especially... with this last month of the season, similar to what Brett Brown's been doing, the Celtics have been amazing.
It's almost like a screw you to JBT, because the week after we discussed saying how Brad Stevens wasn't winning Coach of the Year. I don't think we specifically said that, but we weren't talking about
him. We were
saying
Casey's better, yeah.
Yeah, we weren't talking about him for Coach of the Year. And then... the Celtics go on this run without Kyrie, and they were so close to taking the one seed, which we thought the Raptors had done and dusted. Yeah. So again, it's like what you said before. I completely understand with the Brad Stevens pick. I completely understand with the Casey pick.
Quinn Snyder has been awesome with the Jazz.
Yeah, exactly.
With losing Gobert and revitalizing their season. Great piece by John Gonzalez on him. D'Antoni, obviously, he won it last year, but they've been outstanding.
But they've been better, exactly.
Amazingly better. Yeah. Nate McMillan with I think we mentioned the fact that the Indiana Pacers are the biggest surprise pack of this season. You know, projected to go 31 wins and end up almost at 50. Insane season by them. So, plenty of great coaching performances this year. But, Nick, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on Sixth Man of the Year, because the Sixth Man has a song about him by Drizzy himself. It's Lou Will. No other 100%. Man deserves to be in this conversation even. Like, you could chuck in Eric Gordon, Fred VanVleet. I like Will Barton as well. But it's Lou Will, and he was almost an all-star. And
When your six-man gets all-star nods, yeah, I mean, it's weird. May I just add?
Yes.
Like, Coach of the Year is so close.
Yeah.
Sixth Man of the Year is so far apart.
Yeah.
And so was whatever the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
It's just completely contrast. Anyway.
And so is Most Improved Player. Victor Oladipo. Done.
Yeah.
Next one. Defensive player.
We are flying through.
Defensive Player of the Year. This is where some people have some issues with whether it's Rudy Gobert, Joel Embiid, Davis, Horford, whoever, Draymond. Draymond, for me, is discounting himself purely because he hasn't been the Draymond we know of late. Mm-hmm. Paul George has improved into the sense that he's in this conversation, but I don't think he's been as dominant enough as a defensive presence. Anthony Davis has been awesome, but I don't think he has the same defensive presence as he does offensive presence.
Yeah, like, definitely.
It's almost like his offense takes away from his defense in a weird way.
Well, it's hard to be an all... unless you're literally Michael Jordan, like you wouldn't.
He'll be on both teams, I think. He'll be on all defense.
Yeah,
all.
I mean, he should be.
But it'll be because the bigs have been so good defensively. Al Horford, I don't think he deserves to be in there, because I feel like Embiid probably was my second until he had that injury. And now he's only played, I think, a couple of games more or less than Gobert. And for me, Rudy Gobert is the best defensive player in the NBA right now and in the 54 games that he's played. So for me, if it's a couple of games negligible, then it's got to go to Gobert, who has had such an impact on this Utah Jazz team.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
the you know, the what's the term? The cream is in the pudding. I don't think that's the term.
Cream is in the pudding. Let's put some cream in pudding.
It's like it's right there.
Proof
in front
is in
of
the
you.
Pudding.
The proof is in the pudding.
The cream is in the pudding. The proof and cream.
Would you not love cream in your pudding?
I fucking want some pudding right now. Someone get me some pudding. Eat the pudding.
Anyway,
eat the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding. I can't believe I forgot that.
That's the name of the episode. Cream is in the pudding. Take that as you will, ladies and gentlemen. Rudy Gobert, what were you saying about it, mate? The cream's in, apart from the cream
yeah,
stuff.
Okay. I'm losing my train of thought. It's right there in front of you. His impact on the court, his on-off stats,
yep.
The Jazz's record and defensive rating.
Yeah, baby.
He himself has a defensive rating of sub 100.
Ho ho!
Which doesn't happen
preach
for a
sister.
Player.
Preach it.
It's sort of like I was listening to your
outlet.
I'm going to separate myself here and be yes. a bit of elitist here.
Rightio.
Your OTG friends.
Rightio.
Was talking so hard about Anthony Davis, and I know I've been out of the loop a little bit of
I remember this
out of the loop a little
bit. I listened to this episode,
but when I'm thinking of defensive players, sure, Anthony Davis is great,
top five,
but for defensive player of the year,
no.
When you've got the likes of Joel Embiid and Rudy Gobert,
they're so awesome.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they're like
I was just so surprised.
Yeah, I mean I heard that as well, and he's been and. Jonathan, I have to agree with my counterpart, not just because he is Australian and he is my co-host. But
I'm also in the room with him, threatening him with a knife,
yes.
So that does help.
So there are fears for my life in this as well. But yeah, Rudy Gobert is insane. His impact on the floor, when it comes to defensive rating, all those numbers, you know, it's got to be him. But the final one before we get to the JBT Awards, which is all that really matters, mm-hmm. is the MVP. Mm-hmm. You got Giannis, you got KD, you got Dame, you got Anthony Davis.
I mean, you don't really.
You got them in the conversation. Like, we're talking about them, but at the end of the conversation, it's LeBron and James Harden.
Yes. I'm glad that you added LeBron.
For you, because I know that you think LeBron James is MVP, don't you?
I'm not.
Oh.
No.
Righty-o. What were you saying over burgers, mate? Burgers for the boys.
I was saying this.
Shoot.
If Russell Westbrook averages another triple-double season this year.
Yeah, well, he has.
He has. That's what I said.
He did.
He did, yes.
Yep,
he averaged
rebounds.
Another...
career.
Yes.
High.
Yes, thank you, Jack. God damn it. But where are his MVP talks?
He's probably
the
seven.
The crux of his MVP season...
Good word. I like it.
Was this triple-double. People were hung up on this historic, it is historic, the first one since the Big O,
yeah.
to average a triple-double season.
Yeah, baby.
Fair enough, and he did it with 30-odd points.
Done
it
twice now.
Poor shooting, but, well, that's another point.
Done it twice.
Yes.
Two in a row.
Yes. God damn it, Jack. you piece of shit.
It's pronounced Pewdish, man.
But, hey, was that intentional?
No,
it probably
I
was.
I stole that from Family Guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he is not in the conversation for MVP this season. And, I mean, if he won MVP last season, why isn't he in the conversation this season?
We had...
Storyline, Jack.
No, do you want me to
bring... It's storyline. Don't interrupt me. Wow. KD left him. He averaged a triple-double.
Yeah,
he wins MVP.
Oh, yeah.
Personally...
I voted for him.
Personally, I think James Harden should have won that MVP last
Maybe.
Year. If James Harden wins MVP last year, does he win MVP this year?
Maybe. No.
I don't think so.
Okay, I feel like you
the storyline weighs
narrative.
More
yeah, narrative.
For LeBron. Kyrie left him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just because Harden didn't win MVP last year, and he's come second twice before.
Yeah.
He's winning it this year.
Look, I feel like those are actually fair points. But James Harden also has been... I voted for him in the MVP... roundtable for OTG, which I believe is coming out today. Or by the time you guys are listening, it'll probably be already up on OTGBasketball.com. I voted for Harden because over a sustained whole season in all the games that he's played, he's been great. LeBron James has had his lapses. Yes, he's played 82 games, but January was a very poor month for him and probably the most poor of his career. And for me, an MVP has to be awesome across the entire season. I'm providing my own reasoning. It's subjective. All these awards are. I voted for Russ last year because he was the most valuable player to his team. Like, individual greatness is what makes the MVP stand out. So, look, we could say LeBron James has been awesome. Nick's gonna eat my eat me and eat my head and eat my words, I feel. But it could go to either one. It's gonna be James Harden. We were talking about, I think, unanimous in previous pods, but I don't think that's gonna happen.
No,
with the last month that LeBron's had. Yeah. He certainly put himself even more up there.
I mean, you're talking most valuable to their team. I mean, if anything, that month that LeBron took off is testament to how valuable he is to the...
Yeah, but you need to play the games well. If he had a good January, I feel like he could almost probably is the MVP. Like, you can't take a whole month off. Like, I'd rather him sort of literally take those games off. And he almost probably would have elevated himself more. But it's a story for another day. James Harden's the MVP. He's going to win it. It'd be surprising.
Just a little tidbit here.
Give it to me.
Harden might be averaging more points a game, but LeBron has more points this season.
Are you stealing this from Skip Bayless as well, Nick? Because he's
because Skip Bayless hates LeBron James.
Well, you do realize that LeBron James has played an extra 15 games.
Doesn't matter.
Total points.
Points on the board are points on the board, Jack.
I would rather have points per game is a more accurate stat, though, Nick. That's why James Harden is the scoring leader for the year. Because he has the most points per game at over 30 points. LeBron James is the most total points because he's out there. But you could have, if LeBron James missed an extra 10 games or whatever, then Anthony Davis might have the most points on the board. That doesn't make him give him extra credence. It's about what he does when he's there.
So who wins MVP? The guy who scores 10 points a game for 82 games? Or the guy who scores 820 points in one game? Actually, probably they're 820
that
points
would be
in one game.
Fucking awesome. My God.
You'd literally
points.
Have to...
So there's 48 minutes.
There's maths here.
So 48 times 60, that's about 25,800 seconds, something like that. So every about 3 or 4 seconds... This is math off the top of my head.
You'd
quick
need maths. You need to score.
Russ could do it.
If you shoot threes, takes 50%
of
the time.
9 seconds in the shot clock, please. But what we all want, Nick, we all want the JB team of the year. Play me that music that I love to hear.
Sweet, sweet music. JB team of the week. Yes, we will be rolling straight into
JB team of the year.
JB team of the year and JBT MVP. This has been a long year. It's
24 episodes.
I mean, it's been a long year, but it's also we've come to this point already.
I know.
How quick is this? We're gonna have to do the same thing for the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do the playoffs.
We'll do finals. Yeah, we'll do finals.
We'll do a playoffs MVP sort of stuff.
No worries at all. You always do the backcourt, so you can do the backcourt for the JB team of the year. All
right. So, JB team of the year at the point guard position.
Drum roll. Give it a drum roll.
With a total. All right.
Don't give the total. Yeah, all right, you can give the total.
Yeah, I'll give a total
points.
Why not?
Give the drum roll.
All right, drum roll. So, taking out the
point guard
position with a total of 6 points. Drum roll, please. Russell Westbrook.
Triple-double
king. Taking it out with 6 points for the year.
Yes, well done, Russ.
Well done, Russell. I should have an applause here.
Golf claps.
Taking the shooting guard spot.
Oh, give me that
no
drum
surprises
roll.
Here, I think.
Yes.
With a total of 8 points.
Yes.
Is... James Harden.
Oh, yeah.
Future MVP.
Yep.
We'll see it here. Big calls here.
Beard.
The beard. Mate, you can take the front court.
Oh, thank you, sir. I always do. Taking out the small forward position. Drum roll, please, Nicholas.
LeBron James.
LeBron James with the... I'm not going to say how many votes. Has a high number of votes. And has had an awesome season. Second in MVP likely this year. Second in MVP for me and Nick on our awards prediction. Power forward position. Drum roll, please. Yeah, there we go. Giannis Antetokounmpo
Very
I
nice.
I love saying it now that I can say it.
Yeah, now that you can pronounce it.
Yeah,
good
buddy.
Job.
The Greek Freak has had an outstanding season. Was MVP favourite early on, to say the least. He was balling out in that first couple of weeks of the season, and he certainly deserves his spot with 7 votes. And at the center position, Anthony Davis has been awesome. New Orleans would not be in the playoffs if it wasn't for him.
Indeed.
The loss of Boogie.
The fact that he was in the MVP conversation itself.
It's ridiculous
speaks volumes.
To say. 8 votes for him. And now JBT, MVP. No?
Yep.
We're doing it?
Yep.
Give me 2 drum rolls for this one, Nick. Oh. Press it 3 times. Press it again. Keep pressing it. Yeah.
I'm pressing it.
Yeah. 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 LeBron James. I feel like Nick wanted this to happen, and it's happened.
Yep.
LeBron James has been so dominant at his position, he accumulated double the next person in his position
More
in
than.
Anthony Davis and James Harden. That's actually not a bad top 3. That's the top 3 MVP candidates, but LeBron James has just been so good at the small forward and power forward that he has been racking up 17 assists, no turnovers, triple doubles. He's awesome. He's our JBT inaugural MVP.
So just to reiterate, we've got Russell Westbrook with 6 votes, James Harden with 8, Giannis with 7, Anthony Davis with 8, and LeBron James with 17.
LeBron James.
So he absolutely killed it this year. We'll be doing the same thing next year. It was a bit fun.
Love it.
This year, yeah.
Hard to keep up with all the games, though.
Yeah, it is.
For me, I have to follow it and put them on the dock.
All right, we'll head straight to Rookie Watch.
Put it down, young fella.
Best all-around rookie ever.
The best rookie we've ever seen.
Lesson 1, rookie. Expect the unexpected.
Yes. So, Rookie of the Year, JBT style.
Yes.
Rookie Watch of the Year.
It's all that matters.
If that's a thing.
It's all that matters.
All right. So, for those of you who don't know what was going on, we have been giving the rookies 1, 2, or 3 votes over the year for every week for their performances.
Yeah,
buddy. So, we'll see who's totaled the votes there.
Top 5, Nick, I reckon. Let's go from 5.
Top 5?
Yeah, let's
all
go
right,
top 5.
We'll go top 5. So, in the 5th position, with a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 10 points. I had to count down 5 because I was losing track.
Oh my God.
Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo, big baller.
A good start.
Yeah, yeah. He was leading.
He was getting like a triple-double like occasionally. And
you gave me instructions to not give Lonzo Ball votes.
I mean, he was leading Rookie Watch for a long while. When he was getting absolutely berated for being one of the worst rookies
Nick
in the class.
Nick is a big baller hater, ladies and gentlemen. LeVar
so it was a little bit fixed. No. We tried to keep it as subjective as possible.
Objective.
Objective.
You idiot.
My bad. I need that word of the day calendar, Jack. We tried to keep it as objective as possible. So Lonzo Ball there taking with 10 votes. Very nice. He did have a good
yeah.
good season.
Yeah. I mean, I would... If we're going
for a
forward,
number 2 pick? For a number 2 pick, it was probably a bit underwhelming, but
going forward, and we got another guy who'll be in this list, him and Kuzma, I would still rather have Lonzo Ball because I feel like he has the greater upside. He's got a large array of offensive and defensive capabilities, but who's in that 4 position, Nicholas? Drum roll!
No more drum rolls. Oh, I'm sick of the
game 7? Give me game 7.
Why?
I want it.
Game 7!
Yeah!
I'll give you this one.
Yeah, why not?
All right, so... taking out the 4 spot.
That's good. I like that.
Kyle Kuzma with 13 points. The better of the 2 rookies for in LA this year. Absolutely surprised everyone being the 23rd pick. 27th pick.
Because it was the Nets pick that we traded them for D'Lo. Hashtag salty. Not at all.
He's been absolutely amazing. Came out of the blocks absolutely firing. We always knew it was going to be a deep draft class. And yeah, did not disappoint there. So,
I'll do 3 and 2 because I know you want to do 1.
Mr. Manuel, yeah. You can do 3 and 2.
3 and 2, we have at number... No, you mean just number 2.
No, number 3.
No, you Nick, you skipped someone. You skipped four and went straight to three.
I went straight to three. Yeah. I'm not used to this awards thing.
Oh my God. Nick has not achieved anything in his life.
Number four.
Oh my God. Now let me do four and two now. So the person who is fourth.
This has been absolute shambles.
Oh God. Celtics fans, I apologize. Edward, I apologize for my co-host. Jason Tatum, with a narrow 1 point behind with 12. He's had an outstanding season. The past few weeks, he's been absolutely balling out, becoming the number one offensive guy for Boston. I feel like if anyone in this rookie class, he could almost become one of the best players. Who knows, in 5 years' time, Jason Tatum could be the all-star, the multiple-time all-star, and Donovan Mitchell, Ben Simmons may not be there. He's had an outstanding season, so only one vote behind the Kuz. The Kuz, I feel like, gets more minutes in his system, so that's probably why he had a bit more of an impact in Rookie Watch. But again, I apologize for the idiot that is Nicholas Buzik. But I'll go number two as well. With 21 votes, sort of separated himself quite a bit with some outstanding performances throughout the season, especially if offensively, is Donovan Mitchell. All our Jazz lovers out there, Spider Mitchell has been awesome. If it weren't for Ben Simmons, he would be our Rookie of the Year. But if
don't
we should
spoil the number one pick, Jack.
I meant the Rookie of the Year in general. But
what number one pick?
Give me some sound effect and you can do the number one. Yeah, money, baby. Money. Who's getting that money with the Rookie Watch? No bonuses from us.
Rookie Watch champion this year with a whopping 43 votes.
Wow, that's right. I can't even count to 43.
I know.
What's up to 43?
I mean, it's rough. I think it's 45.
Yeah,
I think it just, yeah. Ben Simmons.
BS.
Absolutely just, it was getting close. It was getting close for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last
month.
Not even, like, after All-Star break, really.
2 months.
It started, yeah, he started picking up and then he just separated himself, getting three votes after three votes after three votes.
That's it, guys.
So, yeah, that's it. I mean, another award season done and dusted. Not that it's another one. This is our first one.
First one and the inaugural, and it's historic. It will live on in our Google Drive.
And I'm fairly sure that this screw-up is a bigger one than at the Oscars. I mean...
oh, my God. Yeah, let's give it to La La Land. Oh, God. Luckily, it wasn't between second and first that you stuffed it up your bum. Let's go through. Let's spiel it because this is our last regular season one. I'll do half, you do half.
Let's be a little bit different. Right.
So that
let's hold each other's hands.
Yeah. I literally am holding his hand. I don't know why. That just about does it for another week, guys. We will be back, obviously, next week with the playoffs. We'll keep up to date with us on Facebook as well. So we just have to say thank you all for tuning in to Just Ball Things this week. Catch us on Nothing But Dash Radio Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern. For all you American listeners, as always, catch us on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, wherever it is you listen to your podcast. Do us a solid, leave us a rating and review, subscribe, helps us out bunches.
Beautiful. You can get us in contact with us at the J-Man JBT or JBT Nick on Twitter. You should also hit up OTG Basketball on Twitter, where you can read some awesome NBA articles at otgbasketball.com. Written by Jack.
Mate.
And heaps of other contributors there. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things and you'll find us. You can hit us up on email and we'll read the emails here on the show, jvtpodcast@gmail.com. So remember, it's you guys that make this show great. So we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep balling, superstars. Yeah, 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 yeah. Keep ball.